Hello and welcome. My name is Zach Weaver, and I'm the senior pastor at Liberty Vineyard Church. I'm so glad you tuned in to the sermon today. I hope that it blesses, encourages, and challenges you as you begin to explore the abundant life God has for you. During this current season of social distancing, we are meeting online via Zoom each Sunday beginning at 10:30. We have worship, prayer, teaching, communion, and a benediction each week. Everyone is welcome. For more information on this and other weekly connect points, please visit our website at libertyvineyardchurch.com. Why don't we, as we get into the Word of God, why don't we just spend a couple of minutes here just praying and kind of opening our hearts and our minds to what God wants to do today. So, Lord, we ask your presence to come and fill this place. Lord, even though we're divided up into our individual houses, Lord, to you who is everywhere all at once, we are all together. We are all still one spirit. We are all still of one heart and one mind. Lord, provide unity. Through your Son, Lord, into our hearts and into our lives. Lord, I pray that we would have open minds and open hearts to what you want to do today. Holy Spirit, just move in us, draw us closer to you. Lord, show us where you want us to move and breathe and just to have our life in you. Lord, I thank you for each one here and ask your blessing on them too. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, everyone, I'm really excited today to start a new series that we're going to be kind of launching into today and then over the next number of weeks. Now, a lot of times when we do a series or we're doing a certain sermon or a topic, there a lot of the stuff is real deep, it's deep theological quandaries or philosophical things to ponder or mysteries of the great unknown. You know, we talked last time about the eschatological ramifications in our current context and thinking about the historical context. And it sometimes gets very esoteric, and it's good to think about those things. But this series is not going to be like that. This series is going to be much more practical. In fact, this series, let me show you what we're going to talk about this time in this series. We are going to talk about, well, maybe not this exactly. Maybe like this? Maybe not this either. See, these two books here I'm holding for people listening online, I'm holding in my hand here, I've got one that says Step-by-Step Landscaping. And another says How to Survive in any climate, on land or in sea, or at sea. Now, those don't seem like they have anything in common. We got landscaping book and a survival handbook. And I probably have 25 more of these laying around the house in different places, because what these are, they're not just specific books about that. They're how-to guides. How-to guides on how to do some specific thing. They are, as that landscaping book says, step-by-step instructions. These things are great. You can learn how to build just any kind of thing. They tell you what materials you're going to need. They tell you what kind of environment you need to be able to do it in. They tell you how long it's going to take, what it might even cost. And then they walk you through each step of how to go from the beginning to the completion. Right? Why do we need these books? Why don't we just go, I'm just going to go out there and figure out how to survive? Or why don't we just say, well, I'll just go out and start planting things. I'm not going to worry about what the book tells me. Well, it's because the people that wrote the books have done it before. And because they've done it before, they kind of know the process that it takes to get something that works successfully. I can go out there and plant all kinds of things. I bet half of them are going to die. And I can go out there and try to survive on my own, but I'm afraid of what might die if I did that. So you see, what we're going to learn about today is a how to build something. Something that's been built before by a group of people who were given all the necessary steps that they would need. They were provided all the materials they would need to do it. And they were even sent people, and specialty people, to come and help accomplish the job. And even with all of that, it still took them 7 years to build it. And if you and I were to try to recreate this exact same thing with its same function today, it would take our entire lifetime, and we would still not have it perfect yet. What is this elusive thing that we're going to learn how to build? We're going to learn over the next several weeks how to build the temple of God. Specifically, we're going to be looking at the one the Israelites built under Solomon's supervision. If you want to go ahead and start getting there in your Bibles with me, sometimes these are harder places to find. This is in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 is going to be kind of the holding place for us, though we're not going to always stay just there. But let me tell you a little bit about it as you're going there. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. This temple that was built by Solomon and the Israelites began its construction in 950 BC. And it was completed in 957 BC. It was the most ambitious project of its kind that the Israelites undertook up to this point. They had lived in the land for 480 years when they began this project. They hadn't started it yet. Why? Because they weren't just building a house. They weren't just building something. They weren't just trying to say, well, let's just go outside. I mean, if I'm going to go out and build something, I'm going to build like a birdhouse or something like that. And even I built one of those and it still fell apart. Poor birds. But see, they weren't building something like that. They were building a dwelling place for God. So everything had to be just right. Everything was specified. Everything had to be done according to the plans. So I want to read to you this section that we're going to be using, and it's a lot of scripture, but it's going to be the foundation for what we're going to be using over the next number of weeks. So I want to read it through today, and then we'll kind of break it down as we go through this series, okay? So we're going to start in verse 1, 1 Chronicles chapter 28. It says, David, he summoned all his officials to Jerusalem, the leaders of the tribes, commanders of the armies, the other, basically all the important, like, overseer people in the city, in the country. And he rose and he stood before them and he addressed them as follows. My brothers and my people, it was my desire to build a temple where the Ark of the Lord's Covenant, God's footstool, could rest permanently. I made the necessary preparations for building it. But God said to me, you must not build a temple to honor my name, for you're a warrior and have shed much blood. And just pause there for a second. Have you ever felt like an incredible burden that God has laid on your heart to do something? And you get all excited about it, all gung-ho about it, and then God says, no? Or God says, not yet? Now, sometimes we get our wires crossed a little bit. Because what God wasn't saying, he wasn't saying, no, I don't want you to build a temple. He was saying, I don't want you to build one yet. Sometimes we miss that and we hear from God, no, and we go, I don't get it. I thought you told me to do this thing. It'd have been pretty easy for David to be discouraged. But God backed him up almost immediately with some confirmations and some promises. And so he goes on in verse 4, yet the Lord, the God of Israel, has chosen me from among all my father's family to be king. For he's chosen the tribe of Judah to rule, and from Judah he chose my father's family, and from my father's sons he was pleased to make me king over Israel. All from among my sons, for the Lord has given me many children, he chose Solomon to succeed me on the throne, and he said, your son Solomon will build my temple in its courtyard, for I have chosen him as my son, and I will be his father. Do you hear how many times in that little passage of scripture there he says the word that God has chosen? and that God did this? You know, he started off by saying, I wanted to build a temple. My plan was to do this. It was on my heart. And then God says, no, you forget. I chose you. I chose this. It's all in God's hands. What David is saying is, I wanted to do this, but it's really in God's hands. It's in his timing. It's in his plan. It's in his ordaining. He's the one that chose this. He's the one that's going to go about doing it. And that'll be really important to our story as we go through this. He says, I have chosen Solomon as my son, and I will be his father. If he continues to obey my commands and regulations as he does now, I will make his kingdom last forever. So now, with God as our witness, I, David, give you this charge for all Israel. Be careful to obey all the commands of the Lord your God so that you may possess this good land and leave it to your children as a permanent inheritance. Solomon, my son, get to know the Lord, the God of your ancestors. Worship and serve him with your whole heart and a willing mind, for the Lord sees every heart and understands and knows every plan and thought. If you seek him, you will find him. If you forsake him, he will reject you forever. So, take this seriously. The Lord has chosen you to build a temple as his sanctuary. Be strong and do the work. Then, David gave Solomon the plans and the temple and its surroundings. I'm going to skip ahead to verse 20, because it gets a bit detailed right there. Then David continued, be strong and courageous and do the work. Notice he said that twice. Don't be afraid or discouraged by the size of the task. For the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you. He will see to it that all the work related to the temple of the Lord is finished correctly. The various divisions of priests and Levites will serve in the temple of God. Others with skills of every kind will volunteer, and the leaders and the entire nation are at your command. It's a lot, isn't it? It's a hefty undertaking. It may not sound like it as I read through that, but in those passages are the steps, one at a time, step by step, for how God wants to have his temple built. There weren't any measurements in that. They didn't even talk about materials and supplies. And yet, as we go through this series, I want you to see that it's not mortar and bricks and stone, something else. This is a 3,000-year-old how-to guide, practical guide. And you might be saying, you know, what does this have to do with me? I'm not going to build a temple like this. My yard's not big enough. What I want to do today is charge you with the same task that David charged Solomon. Not a physical temple, a spiritual temple. See, the day you give your life over to God, the day you receive Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior, and you say, I am a sinful person. God, you died to take away my sins. You resurrected. You have been resurrected, sit at the right hand of the Father, and I receive that. I receive that sacrifice on my behalf so that I too can be redeemed, so that I too can have a place in heaven with the Father. The day you do that is the day the work began. The day you did that, the foundation for the temple was laid, because you invited the cornerstone, the most important piece in any building project, that sets the trajectory, that sets all of the measurements in place, that roots the whole project to its place. That day, you invited the cornerstone to come live in your heart, to come take root in your life. It's not a physical temple that we're building, but a spiritual temple. Solomon's temple was destroyed in 586. It was said by the people who had seen the original temple, had then gone to exile and come back and seen its recreation, that they wept at the sight of it because it just couldn't compare. But so it is with all the things that are made by human hands. Why? Because the things that we make with our hands are not eternal. They're temporal. They're subject to all kinds of things that can happen. But this work that we're going to talk about over the next number of weeks, the work that began the day you gave your life to Christ, this temple will never be destroyed. This is an everlasting temple. You heard it in the words. It's an everlasting covenant and an everlasting kingdom, because it's not built out of bricks and mortar and stone and wood and precious metals. In fact, it's built with something far more precious. Now, I'm going to read through some scriptures. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to kind of go along with me here, but it's several different ones, but there's a purpose and a direction I want to go through with this. All right, we're going to start in Romans. We're going to start in chapter 8, verses 9 to 11. Paul writes, "You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who doesn't have the Spirit of Christ doesn't belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body dies because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." What is Paul saying? Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, dwells in you and in me. He goes on in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 to say, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit living within you, whom you have from God?" You hear it? Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? In 2 Corinthians, he goes on to say that we are a temple of the living God. In chapter 6, verse 16, he says, "We are a temple of the living God. For God said, I will make my dwelling among them, and I will walk among them, and I will be their God. They will be my people." Speaking to John, Jesus, in a vision, tells him in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and I will eat with him and he with me." I want to give you like a little translation of that in my own mind. Now, don't dig too far into this, but what Jesus says is, "I'm going to stand at the door and knock. And if you open the door, I'm going to make myself at home. I'm coming in. I'm going to sit down and eat with you." But even more than that, he tells the disciple himself, when Jesus was walking, talking, eating, sleeping, everything as a human on the earth, he said in John 14, 23, "If anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him," here it is, "and make our home with him." I'm standing at the door and knocking. If you answer the door, I'm going to make myself at home. It says that in there. He says, "We will make our home in him." The home he's talking about, the translation there, it's not anything esoteric. It's not anything off the chart that's hard to understand. It means a dwelling place. What did God tell the Israelites? The dwelling place of God is with man. "I will make my dwelling among them." And Jesus says the exact same thing in modern language for them. "We will come and we will make a dwelling place in you." But even more, do you know what that word "make" is? I love this one. It means I'm going to build it. I'm going to construct it. I'm getting out my plans. I'm getting out my steps. We're going to build. That's the word he uses. I'm going to come and build. Not I'm going to establish it and it's done. It's not a one and done thing. It's I'm going to construct. Building process, step by step, my home in you. Paul writes in Colossians 2:9 that in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. And Jesus, when talking to the Jewish leaders who were demanding that they tell him, on what authority do you do these things? And he said, oh, I'll prove it. Destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. But he wasn't talking about the physical temple, was he? It says in Scripture, by temple, he meant his own body. So, told you I had a progression for this. In Christ lives the fullness of God in a human body. Jesus says, my body then is a temple for God. And if you destroy my body, the temple, I will raise it back up again. He says, Paul writes that our body is that same temple of the Holy Spirit. And he says, the Spirit dwells in you. Our body, therefore, becomes that temple. We are a temple of the living God. If we just open the door when Jesus knocks, if you've opened the door and let Jesus into your heart, the foundation for that temple's already been laid. That cornerstone has already been set in place. Is it done? No. Is it going to be done tomorrow? No. If you've walked with Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior for 30 years, are you close to being done? You're closer than you first began. What if you walk with Him for your entire life? Will it be perfect and complete? No. Here's what I can promise you. Over the next weeks, we are going to go through the same steps that David and Solomon went through, step by step, as we begin and continue to build the temple in our own lives. Construction's already begun, right? We're all at different places in this building project. Some of us are just starting. Some of us have been going at it for a while. Some of us have gotten tired and taken a break. Some of us are going for it full force. It doesn't matter where you are in the project. What matters is that you keep going and keep going and that you keep building. Construction has already begun, and Paul says that he that began a good work in you would do what? See it through to completion. Hold that thought. What did David say? In verse 10, he said, be strong, do the work. And he continued, be strong and courageous and do the work. Don't be discouraged by the size of the task, for the Lord my God is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Now listen to this next sentence. He will see to it that all the work related to the temple of the Lord is finished correctly. He who began a good work in you will see it through to completion. As we get on this journey, as we start these steps next week and we begin to look at how God is leading us and where He's calling us and what He called David to do, I want to just encourage and challenge you to look and examine your own building project. How's it going? Where are you with this? And I want to encourage you that God, this is a God-sized task, and it's a God-sized completion. And it is only by His grace and His strength that we can accomplish these things. So, let's close in prayer. God, as we just ponder and consider the fact that You have begun a good work in us, that You have laid a foundational cornerstone in our hearts and lives. And Lord, You want to take over. You want to move in and make Yourself at home. Lord, may we be open to that. May we be willing to clear out anything that stands in the way. May we be willing to do the hard work. Don't let us be afraid. Don't let us be discouraged. Let us rely on You and Your strength. Lord, bless Your people here. Bless those that are listening online as well. And I pray that You would just fill them with Your presence and encouragement strengthen them. Lord God, I thank you for all these good things. Bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen.